agenda to meet. Are you asking us to discuss?
Yeah.
Or all three?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Okay. Jeff. I would like to ask through the chair to Mr. Corp Counsel Moyer. So if we would pay this off, what would the process be?
If you were to pay off the...
How would that look to me, who doesn't know how that would look?
You're talking about the process?
Yeah. What happens if he's ready to pay it off and we pass a resolution? Does he come down to the clerk's office and pay all the penalties, taxes, everything? Is that how that would work?
If the committee passed it and the county board passed it, yes, then he would pay a fixed amount that would be set, and it could include everything, including the taxes, the penalties, the interest, the costs.
Okay. In my, thank you, in my research on this, it did come up that he has been struggling over the years, and he has made some partial payments in other years, 2010 and 2015, but he now is able to put all the money and make it clean. And when I was talking with Corp Counsel Moyer, we discussed that this might be setting a precedent. Well, we've already set a precedent that somebody can partially pay. So I'd rather have the precedent reset that somebody comes in and pays it up in full so that the slate can start again. So that's my opinion on it. I'll let other people talk before I make a motion.
So, John, it would be $8,432.
No, it's more than that.
Okay. Remember, you have to take into account the cost. We have a final figure on what it would be.
Okay, so I'm looking at the tax bill. It says total amount due if paid by January 31. That's not correct.
Right. The total amount would be $16,288.53. That's right. $16,288.53.
53 cents if paid by today, tomorrow, or
January, December 1 or
November 30th. It changes December 1.
Okay, November 30th.
I think it's because you're showing you what they did to the tax.
And that's for the years 2015 through 2018.
Excuse me.
And then the 19s would be coming up as soon as that's put together.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
When I put that sheet together, those taxes was based on the fact that we took it in August.
Oh, sir, doesn't include
it doesn't include interest and penalty for it, because if we reverse it, it would be like he never was tax deeded, so there would also be interest and penalty for October and November that is not included in there.
Well, I think we got to be all clear of what's due and owing, whether it's that or some other figure.
Right, but I wasn't, when I was quickly, because this all came about very quickly.
Yes, it did.
That it takes a lot of time to really pull this stuff together. And today, that's what I was able to pull together for John. But it didn't include that.
Because it freezes as soon as the tax deed is taken. The interest and penalty freezes as of that date.
So I'm looking at an Exhibit K that says $11,746.
That was what was due at the end of August. You can see at the bottom. Okay.
So you're saying September, October, and half of November is another $5,000? That's what I'm hearing.
You said 15, didn't you?
16,000.
16.
Yeah. 16. Let me go print it out.
So are we in agreement or not, John, that it's $16,088.53?
No, it's going to be more than it. It's going to
be more than that. Okay. Right. So can you give us I think the committee, if we pass this, we have to know exactly what we're asking. Yes, John.
It says.
I can't see how it could almost double here.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Well, okay, the last number I heard was like 12,000.
Yeah, that's what I heard, yeah.
And I guess it didn't double, but how can it go up $4,000 here in 4 months?
3 months.
Yeah, I mean, in August it was $11,746.
There's $2,000 of expenses that she listed on here.
What?
For what?
Yeah, that wasn't there before.
$2,000 in personnel costs, sheriff personnel costs, treasurer personnel costs. there's 754 in personnel costs. I'm just telling you what Reggie has on her sheet.
I understand.
What sheet?
Personnel costs is
right here.
For the service for the eviction process, for John's time drawing up the papers for the eviction, that sort of stuff.
They haven't evicted though.
But the process has already started.
So we need to have a, in order to act one way or the other, we need to know how much it is.
She's going to go get. I think she's getting those figures, but can I speak?
Yes.
Well, some of the facts that she did put forth are pretty clear. 26 years of ownership of the home, 12 full years of non-payment. So nearly half of the time the home was owned, no taxes paid towards it, or partial. Trying to access the individual here by summons here. Date 2/18/2019, time 15:12, no answer, car and driveway. 2/19/2019, time 10:22, no answer at door, his car was there. 2/24/2019, 15:01 is the time access to the house was blocked, his car was there. 2/25/2019, 18:17, access blocked, still his car was there. I mean, the list goes on and on. He's around. He doesn't want to get served. I get it. But, I mean, let's face it. I mean, we have to pay our bills. We have to pay our bills. And I think this is a precedent. If we do this, we're going to get reversals on other ones as we move forward. And I think this is clearly someone that didn't want to pay their taxes. Period. I think it's clear. Is my opinion on the situation as I read this information that's put forth here in front of everybody.
Well, I think we can figure the exact amount of people at the end of the meeting, but right. I think we have to talk about the philosophy of doing it.
We're not saying
non-payment.
No, county has done it.
Yeah.
I was treasurer when it happened.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a long time ago. A piece of farmland right on the curb on 142. And I kept noticing, I sent notices to the guy. I went out and I tried to find a door to knock on. He had a post office box. So I finally, after like, he was like 9 years behind, and I took a tax deed on it. And it turns out that the guy had medical problems and stuff, and the family came in, pleaded with the county board, and you'll find it in the record someplace, and we gave it back to him for all of that taxes. Okay, so it's not like we're setting a precedent, we've done it before. And I think in this case, we ought to do it here too. If I may, and for whatever my successor was, I certainly understand what Supervisor Frederick is saying, and I will acknowledge that it is not unprecedented to do this. However, we have done it sparingly. We have done it in what I consider generally to be extraordinary circumstances. I don't know much about the specifics of this matter. What I do know is that there's certainly a great deal of sympathy for the situation. I understand that. I get that. I understand nobody wants to be in a position where they're trying to potentially tell somebody that, you know, they're losing their home. I get that. However, my concern of my office, is that if we start on a subjective basis, without any policy, without any hard and fast factors or consideration, pick and choose who is sympathetic enough, whose story is sad enough for us to reverse a tax deed process where there has been, as I understand, no allegation that there's been a fault in the process or a flaw in our process, when there's been proper notice, when there's been proper ability to challenge it, and so forth. The next person who comes in and makes the same case and doesn't get as sympathetic a hearing by this committee or the county board, I have significant concerns that we are opening the county up to liability, that we are acting in an arbitrary and capricious manner, a strict discriminatory manner. We are not consistently enforcing what the law is. That's my concern.
Yeah.
I understand your point of view, but we have taken partial payments twice already from the same individual, and I haven't even asked about what happens to other people. So,
how many other people have you got that are 10 or 12 years behind you taking payments on?
Are you asking me or that?
No, I'm just making a statement.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this happens regularly. And to your point, I'd be happy to create a policy. I mean, it would be my goal that anybody that comes in and wants to pay in full to get out, to get their home back, I would be willing to do that. I don't want to take the property. And if they're paying everything and a lot of penalties, you know, for having it go that long, I don't have a problem with that.
If I made it to the chairman, and you may recall, we've looked at this, and I note that at one point we had on the books an ordinance which is permitted by statute to permit for the repurchase at this point in time by the former property owner. That was then repealed by the county board. That's something that you remember. I can only assume that it was because it was determined that too many people were gaming the system, waiting until the last minute and then paying up. But I don't know that for sure because it was before my time.
Okay, well, how many people have done that? Through the chair to anybody that can answer that. How many people have done that? That so many people were gaming the system? How many people are coming in and buying it back right before?
Most of the time, well,
we don't allow people to buy it back after we've taken it by taxi by statute.
Okay, so the answer is zero?
Well, they try, but it's never been allowed because we're not allowed to because you rescinded the policy to sell it back to the former owner.
How many people actually try to do that, would you estimate?
I would say after the eviction notice goes out, we, if it's a home, what, 30%?
Maybe. I would like to say that they are given plenty of notices of last. Like, this is it. Terry sends out a letter. It's in that packet. We're going to, you know, your property is eligible to be taken by August 20th. We didn't take it until the 26th. He didn't come in and make payment or even try or call or anything until after the fact, after he was served by the sheriff's department, after we took the property.
And I think you're misunderstanding this partial payment idea. The only reason that we don't proceed when he paid last year, the only reason we didn't proceed is because he can't proceed at that point. Because every year there's another year that's eligible for taxing. So last year we paid off the 2015, the 2014s, before we took it, so before that time had elapsed, and we took that final date came, he paid off the 2014, so we gave it back. So we don't begin the process on the 2015s until they become eligible after September 1st. So it's not like we're taking willy-nilly partial payments. You have to pay off what's eligible for tax deed, and then I cannot proceed on you until the next year becomes eligible. So it's not like we're willy-nilly taking payments that way. It's not a thing. So I don't want you to think that, you know, we just decided to let him pay that and be okay. No, by law, I couldn't proceed on the rest of them.
I don't think anybody's thinking that.
Yeah, I mean, I want to get educated on it. That's fine. I don't have a problem letting him buy this back for everything that's owed and reviewing the policy that the county board removed before. I don't know when that happened. Do you recall how long ago
it was? Passed in 1989, it was repealed in 91 or 92.
93.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I would be interested in revisiting that and debating that and seeing where that goes. But that's my opinion. That's all.
John?
Well, I agree with Supervisor Frederick. You know, this has happened in the past. And I've been on the board 6 years now, and I've never seen or heard of anything close to this, so I think it is a rare occurrence.
And if I may, that's because they generally don't come to you. We deal with them internally, administratively, and say there is no statutory mechanism to do what you are asking. In this case, the individual has come directly to the committee, as is his right, to speak in citizen comments, and has made his plea directly to the seven of you, and that is why we are here. I will say, as the county's lawyer, I honestly don't believe there's statutory authority to do what we're contemplating.
No state law says we can't do this. Isn't there a case, though, that says it's discretionary?
I wanted to speak to this, Your Honor, or to the chair. The case that's cited by Mr. Simmers is a Jackson County case, and there has to be a basis in the law to rescind a tax deed, and there can be a notice defect, which no one's claiming here. Mr. Simmers admits that there's no notice defect. What he's hanging his hat on, so to speak, is the assessment, and saying that the assessment is inequitable or results in an inequitable tax. One of my concerns here is I'm not at all convinced by anything that's been presented that there is an inequitable tax here. And I don't think it's a good policy, I guess, for this committee to decide sort of themselves that this tax is inequitable. I think it should be looked at more deeply, but I don't know that there's any basis to suggest that the tax in this case is inequitable. I'm gonna have to find this. The assessment is, the land is assessed at $37,200, and the home or the improvements, which includes a two-car garage and a home, at $38,400, totaling an assessment from 2014 to 2018 of $75,600. That assessment actually went down this year to slightly less than that, I believe, in 2019. But what Mr. Simmers is saying is that the home is over-assessed at the amount that I just mentioned, which is $38,000.
Here, John, it went down.
It went down to $74,200 in 2019. My point being, is it the purview of this committee to decide sort of on their own that the legal basis that's suggested here of an inequitable tax is proven without going any further? I don't know. Bristol is the one that does the assessments in this case. There are ways legally to challenge an assessment. I don't see anything suggestive that Mr. Simmers ever challenged his assessment. I'm not even sure that anyone ever came and looked into his home to find out if he's right that it's so it's so spare, if you will, that the assessment is, again, $38,400 is excessive. But I think there has to be a basis in the law in order to set aside or rescind a tax deed, and there are processes to do that. If you're claiming it's a defective notice, you know, you can go to the court. If it's an inequitable assessment, you can challenge the assessment. But to wait until after a tax deed is taken and then come to the committee and say, my basis for this is that the assessment is out of line, I don't think that that's proper under the law, and I would ask the committee to at least set this over and look at it more deeply. I can tell you that one of the things that I know was driving the urgency here was the fact that it's set for a eviction hearing on Thursday. That's the 21st. I'm going to be at that hearing, and if need be, if this committee wants to take a look at this more closely, and I urge it to do so, I will adjourn that, and I can adjourn it into January to give you ample time to look at the issue. But I think it does set a dangerous precedent for this committee to just simply set aside a tax deed. I can tell you that I know of at least two or three others that have come up in the last month and a half that people have challenged a tax deed, post-tax deed. So this is not unique, and it's you know, it's a serious matter whether we set aside a tax deed.
Oh, and this equitability of the assessment, did he ever appeal to the Board of Review?
I'm not aware of, nothing's been presented to that effect that I'm aware of. So nothing in the materials I've been given.
No.
Yeah.
And go ahead. I contacted the assessor for there and to find out if they had any records of any, and they keep records of appointments, phone calls, letters, all that. And the only thing they had on record was that they mailed out a re-evaluation, like assessment letter, because they do it every so many years. And they sent that out in 2013 to Mr. Simmers, and they have nothing, no record of anything coming back, no phone calls, no chance, you know. The letter states that they can challenge the assessment or, you know, make an appointment to, or have scheduled for someone to come in and see the property if you feel that it's over assessed. And that didn't happen.
If I can add to the chair, I did notice in the materials that in 2005, that's when Mr. Simmers began to think about renovating his home. as I understand it, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. From then until maybe 2008, because that's when it sounds like his medical problems were exacerbated, and he couldn't, he began having a lot of medical expenses and maybe physically was unable to continue the renovation work. He was in the process of renovating the home. So the home was built in 1944. So again, I don't know personally whether it was habitable or not. The concern, the one thing he says in his papers is that it's not even habitable. He's living out of a bedroom and a bathroom, essentially, or a room and a bathroom. But, you know, it's been devalued, if you will, if it's being renovated interiorly. And I don't know of any evidence. He signed a permit to allow for the construction of the home. And on that permit, it's required that the inspector be allowed in anytime there's work done that is going to be concealed, for example, electrical work or plumbing work. So I don't know that there's anything in the materials I saw that suggests that anyone ever came in and take a look at the interior of the home. And again, that goes to the heart of whether that assessment is accurate or is inaccurate.
So is this right? Every year since 95 or 94?
Yes.
The taxes have been delivered.
Yes, there's never been a moment, as I understand it, that he was current on his taxes.
From the time he owned it in 93.
So it was paid behind. But before, it's always paid before we got to the point that we took tax money. It was always paid before that. This time we missed that deadline.
Further discussion?
Yes. So is it through the chair to our legal representatives? If we would accept this resolution and move forward and allow him to do this, are we breaking any laws? Not what you think. I mean, are we breaking any laws that we know of?
All I can tell you is that in the site to this Jackson case, it says that for the county to argue that it has the authority to set aside the tax deed under 7522, the statute 75.22, it would be required to show the property was inequitably taxed, resulting in the property owner paying more than its equitable share of the tax. So I ask you, have we been shown that is there proper showing here that there's inequitable taxation?
Because that's required by the statute. So what John is suggesting is that in order to do this legally, we need that proof. So if you need more time to decide if it was inequitable tax, then meet the burden of that case and allow us to overturn this tax deed. And that case is, since that case that you had back in 93, that case is newer than that. In order to meet that burden, if you need more time to get more information from the assessor or anything like that to see if it was inequitably taxed, he's willing to give you that time. Okay. But unless you do that, you might have problems.
I will make a motion to defer this until our January meeting and then have it put on the county board agenda thereafter if we decide to move forward with it. And I'd also like his payments frozen so that he's not having to pay while we think about it.
He's not paying. He hasn't paid anything since.
I understand that, but if we're telling him, 16 or 12 or something, and then we defer it for 2 months, I mean, because we could act on it right now. I mean, so I don't think that's right that we put it off to think about it and then charge him for our thinking about it. That's my opinion.
I'd have to get something from corp counsel or somebody that tells me I'm allowed to do that. By statute, I'm not aware I'm allowed to freeze the interest and penalty. So I'd need a legal opinion to do that. Without,
okay,
going
what
to
is your legal opinion on that?
I know of no authority for that, but I'm open.
Do we have the authority for that?
Except by state statute.
I don't think the statute allows that, but I am willing to look into it.
I can tell you that. I don't think anybody knows anything here.
Yeah, I still have the floor. I want to get this guy's house back. I'm going to make no bones about it, okay? Because I think if someone, he has presented a hardship. They are veterans, and that may play on my heartstrings. And I'm, every minute we talk, it appears the number goes up, and so I don't know. I've heard that there is precedent. I've heard we shouldn't do it. I've asked to put it off so we could think about it. But I want to move forward and in some way and help them do this. And I would like to have our policy relooked at to see what there was on the books, what was abandoned, and how that goes. So that's my opinion.
So if your motion is to defer or to
Well, no, defer, now my motion was yeah, but now I'm confused. So I'll take my motion back for now.
Do you want to talk about this confusion?
No, sure, sorry. As long as you're not going to bill me, I'd be happy to.
Terry, can I just suggest that if this is going to be our standard, and I'm going to tell you right now, I do this every day, and I have sympathy for 98% of the people that come before me that I'm going to take because nobody really stops paying their taxes because they just don't want to pay them. Most of the time, there's something horrible going on in their life, and there's something going on. So I'm going to suggest, if you're going to take this time, which I think you probably need to, that you also take a time, if this is going to be our new policy at the county, and I want to apply this equitably if we're going to do it. So if we're going to allow former owners to buy back their property, I want that to be the policy of the county and not just something we willy-nilly do. Because as it stands out, there have been people over these last 2 years that honestly have wanted to do this exact same thing, and we have told them that's not allowed because we rescinded that statute in 1993. So there are people out there who lost their property, and we have since sold their property because we rescinded that policy. They just didn't come to talk to you about it. So I want it to be consistent and straightforward and across the board, because I'm telling you, most of the people that come in my office that owe me taxes, they've got some health issue going on, and they probably lost a job or got downsized. It's some competition. It's like bankruptcy. It's the same thing. That's what puts people in these straits. So you can't just willy-nilly do it for one person and not all the other you haven't heard about yet. So that's out there, and that's a thing. So I think you should honestly think about that as a policy change going forward.
I did.
Yeah.
I did, and I even made a motion. But then the price got jacked up. So I was not happy with that. So I would love to revisit the policy. I think I made that clear. So I'm gonna make my motion now. And my confusion has lifted.
Come out of the phone.
Defer this for 2 months. Hold the number that he owes at what we're at, and on the next time when it's put before us, not only have him and staff come, but have the policy that we had rescinded, that you've spoken about, brought up, and look at a policy. I don't disagree with you that I don't want to arbitrarily cherry pick on who comes in and talks the loudest. I prefer there to be a policy so that there's guidelines set up. So that's fine with me. So that will be my motion. Is that clear?
It is.
Okay.
Is there a second?
Second. I'll second it for discussion.
I want to discuss that.
Like in half the floor.
Yes.
In the meantime, right now he's living in the house, and he's under an eviction notice in 30 days or whatever that is. So you have to take that into consideration. Do you want to kick him out in the street?
No, 2 days. He's going to go and defer it for 2 months, he said.
The 28-day notice is long since expired that you may be referring to. He's got a court date on the 21st. I can ask that it be adjourned until January so that he can remain in the home through that point in time.
That'll be part of my motion.
He'll be able to stay in the house as long as he...
Until a court orders him evicted, which is going to be beyond that date because that's when we'd be in court.
But we're not going to get anything done by that time. What we're doing here, in fact, is just telling them, Hit the street. That's what I'm telling. If we don't do anything right now.
We have authority under statute, again, on that interest to freeze that as of today.
I think not. But I say the answer is no, but I'm willing to look at any authority anyone can present to me. I know of no authority for that.
I've always been told I do not have the authority to freeze interest and penalty. So I will bow to his experience on this. As far as if there are legal exceptions, I'm unaware of. So somebody should research that. But
okay, the motion. Any other discussion?
Maybe we should act like Washington is right now. Make an executive order and just do it. You know, the hell, right?
Yeah, I'll jump into that pool.
The water isn't fine. I'm not going to jump in. What I want to talk about is this: is if he, the owner of the particular property, has to get someone to get into the home and assess the value of it internally as well as externally, the value can be devalued from where it's at now, correct?
The assessment.
So he's going to have to, someone's going to have to get into the home, is that correct?
That's right.
So until that happens, we can't devalue the property any more than what it is right now, from my standpoint, correct?
Correct.
Is there a mortgage on the property?
If you'll excuse my speech. I very specifically brought this matter before you to meet the concerns of what I anticipated would be corporate counsel, and that is the case that he references is that all that needs to be sustained here is that there was a defect in not in the assessment amount, because we would all be agreed that I had a chance to challenge the amount of the assessment. The case that he refers to that I cited, it basically says if there's a problem in how the number was reached, in other words, the process of the assessment, and what my the statements that I made are simply that there is no way that the assessment could have accounted for the entire inside of my home, because even as you stated, no one has been inside the home during that time. It's a very unique circumstance here. I had health issues, as I'm sure others in my position do. I can vouch for that. But I happened to take a building permit out before my health was affected to the point that I couldn't work on the home. So the home has sat with the interior almost completely gutted, except for the rooms that you mentioned. And just common sense, common reasoning is really what I was coming to the committee with, is that if no one was inside the home, as you pretty much attested to, I'm sorry, I don't know your name.
Okay. My name's Reggie.
Okay. As Reggie attested to that, she checked with the assessment service, and they've said, yeah, nobody's been in the home that time. And Attorney Moyer has stated, yeah, there was a building permit taken out, and an inspector was never in there because the construction was never completed to the point. So you're correct, an inspector has never been in there. Because the construction has never been completed to the point that an inspection was required, only the demolition was done. So that validates my point there also. So without them looking inside the home, they reached the value of the house, when obviously the inside of the home wasn't completely constructed, and therein lies my point. It's a problem with the assessment process, or the groundwork of the tax, is what they refer to it in that case, and that's what I'm presenting here.
Did you refuse to let the assessor come in?
No, never.
Nobody ever knocked on your door and asked to come in and assess your property?
No. No, they never did.
Why didn't you go before the Board of Review, though, and challenge, as you suggested, that it's not worth because of the interior demolition?
And obviously I'm going to be honest, but I want to emphasize on it honestly. When you're in a position like mine, and you're living in a house that I live alone, and I became accustomed to that space, and my desire was, I was always at the precipice of something would break through that I could finish this home. And something has broke through. But I didn't go because, frankly, I was afraid that somebody would say this is an inhabitable home because it's so incomplete. And that's the honest truth, that's what a person in my position faces. So I know there are probably a lot of other stories out there, but you have a basis, I believe, based on my presentation. Because it's in the groundwork of the tax is what has happened is the problem. But you do have a statutory basis to proceed with this. It just so happens to be, you know, my circumstance is it would greatly benefit that too. And just one other thing I'd like to, I'm sorry, I don't know your name. Also,
my name's Ed.
You, Ed, you bring up a good point about the service. I may have been, I have a disability that I can't always get to the door.
Mm-hmm.
If you'll notice, I was served by the sheriff.
Right.
I not only answered the note on the door, I called them and had them come back and serve me. So I'm not that type of person, but I get that you would draw that conclusion from those notes. My intent here is that I'm in a financial position now that I can timely make my payments, and there's a reason to set aside this tax due in the law. I hope that clears up some more points. Question here is to make it easier, not harder, but I'll do whatever the committee directs.
Further discussion on the motion to defer, John.
Could I step in and say something?
Sure.
To the chair. Just so you know, this is what the Supreme Court case in Jackson talks about. This is exactly what it says is a definition of, or what is meant by, a defect in the groundwork of a tax. It is a defect or irregularity that necessarily affects the principle of the tax and shows that it must be unjust and unequal, or an illegality or irregularity that results in an inequitable burden. So that is the Supreme Court writing about what the words groundwork of tax are, that must be found before you can overturn or rescind a tax deed in a situation like this, as I understand it.
So somebody at the next meeting would have to come forward and say the property is worth X instead of Y.
Right, that the principle of tax is inequitably
because while the his main contention is the process is flawed, and it may be, but not every house gets looked at internally every year. But the point is that the tax is based off of the dollar amount of the assessment. So the principle of my tax is just a factor of the mill rate times the assessment. So in order to have the principle of the tax be wrong, either the mill rate has to be wrong or the assessment has to be wrong as a dollar amount for that to be true.
Forgetting the assessment part of it, what's going to happen here is if he loses the house, and he's willing to pay $16,672 in the next month, the county gets the money. If not, we're going to end up having the house, and we're not going to get $16,000 for that house. I want to see what we sell it for when we sell it. That's going to be a different story.
John.
I think we need to settle this tonight. I don't think we should put it off. And so I will be voting no on that motion.
So will I.
Okay, any other discussion? So the motion, just to repeat, is one, to defer. Two,
Mr. Chairman, I would rescind the motion, since I can count.
Okay. Well, your motion had a whole bunch of components to it besides.
I'm going
to
rescind
defer.
It all. I'm going to take it all back. Okay,
take it all
back.
Further discussion then?
Yeah, no motion on the floor, right?
Nope. Okay. Would you like to make one?
The resolution.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
Further discussion, Jeff?
So are you saying that we approve the resolution with the number added in there of the 16?
Let them pay the $16,672.10.
Is that the correct
November,
number?
By the end of November.
Is that it?
By November 30th.
I didn't. Like, normally
You can do it.
We are doing transfer of property. The person purchasing the property pays for the recording fee, which is not included in there, because that chart that you're looking at is what is put together when there's a homestead. When I prepare the homestead distribution for the properties that we have to, that we sell, and there's proceeds that can go back to the previous owner. So there's not a recording fee. There's a $30 recording fee as well to transfer the property back to him if you were to choose to do that. So it would be
that amount plus $30.
Yeah, that amount plus $30.
Well, then you're going to put that amount plus $30 in your motion.
Right.
Okay.
So what happens under the motion if he doesn't pay by November 30th?
Then he loses it.
Then so. He's got a chance.
Not but really, because.
What about this year?
Yeah.
You have to make part of your motion that he defers it to December or something.
Yeah.
I'm just asking, what if he doesn't pay it by November 30th? Right. Then it's now, so December 1st, what happens December 1st? We come to another meeting?
That's my question. What happens if this full amount, $16,672.10 plus $30 onto that, actually, if it's not paid by November 30th, or it's got to be the 28th, it's got to be a business day, correct? Because the 30th is a Saturday?
Saturday,
yes. Yeah, so the 29th.
It's well, not Black Friday.
And we're not open that day.
So then it's got to actually be paid the.
If it's postmarked the 29th, we normally consider that.
Thanksgiving is the 28th. So it's going to be the 27th.
Well, no, the treasurer just alluded, as long as it's postmarked by.
The end of the month, we always consider it timely.
So he can postmark it.
Is the courthouse open the 29th?
No, we are not.
So it must be paid by the 27th.
Or postmarked by then.
We historically accept postmark.
All right, so he's got what?
Well, what is your decision?
I think the resolution is clear.
Through the chair to the maker of the motion, can we include, I don't know what the process is, John, to have you go and move this. You can't move it. You can't tell the court when to hear it. I wouldn't think. You can't say the beginning of December or after.
Sure, I can. Sure. I can ask for a specific week, for example.
Okay. Yes. Then I would ask that you would, as part of his motion, as a friendly amendment, you would defer it to the first week in December at whatever time you want, whatever is a weekday or whatever, and then he'll have till the end of November to have it postmarked.
Well, if you're going to have the court hearing, you'll want to make sure it's in my hands before that. Court hearing, so he's going to have it postmarked. You might want to have it overnighted then.
You get this resolution through, and he'll be done there tomorrow.
Delivered personally.
Pay it tonight. Yeah.
Not taking it tonight.
Huh?
Not taking it tonight. The safe is closed.
No, he's not going to pay it tonight.
Okay.
Obviously.
So then we don't have an issue. But I also, I mean, just as part of the motion, defer it to the first. Whatever the first business day in December is that you want to go, and then we'll make sure it's in Terry's hands, or he'll make sure. Or if it's not, then we take the property.
As soon after.
We already got it.
Well, I mean, we follow through and do what we got to do.
He comes in and pays it, he quit claiming it back to him. That's
okay.
It.
All right. So that's part of the motion.
Just don't forget about that other part of the discussion where you're going to make this true for everybody in the county and not just willy-nilly.
I'm going to ask that it's put on our next agenda. So, but I didn't want to
muddy
the. It runs on a roll. I agree with you, Ron.
If I could suggest,
relax
to the chair. In terms of specific language, I would say I will schedule it as soon as the court has room on their calendar after, you know, the 1st of December.
That's fine. Yeah.
Spoken
that's fine.
Like a true lawyer.
Yep, that's fine.
I'm dependent on the calendar of the court.
Yes, that's what I thought.
Okay.
All right, we ready to vote or is there further discussion? All right, so, John, do you want to do a little amending here on this?
Sure.
I think we have to have a date for
certain.
Mm-hmm. And a money side.
One, two, three.
I have the lawyer in the room.
Yeah.
Just get it done.
All right, further discussion? You don't want to defer this to get some of these questions answered?
My motion's on the floor because it's down. Right.
Should we vote then unless there's further discussion? Jeff, yes or no?
Aye.
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 No.
I didn't hear you say it.
Passes. All right. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Could you, before we adjourn, could you put on the
next meeting that we have to look at that policy and have Terry and court counsel come in and go over what that policy would look like, what it was.
I know you will. I know you will. Just please do it.
I understand.
Please do it. And what we can do, what?
Thanks for coming. You probably didn't have to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
of course. Ron, why don't you present it here to the board?
I can't apply it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but he voted no. I voted no. He doesn't want to.
Did he leave already? Oh, no. His coat's still there.
Yeah. I had to go to the restroom.
He's working on it. We voted on it, but he's working on it. So
we've had other people that have
I don't understand it either.
I know.
Well,
I was a little money bill myself.
You get the house. You know, if you sell it for like $10,000 or something.
Like you said,
if we can even sell it.
Why would we have to tear this thing down at a cost of 60?